Kia ora, everybody. Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us. Hope you enjoyed that little waiata there. Now we're going to go to Kate Pepper. She is from the Waikato Regional Council. She's going to be talking to me about their Environmental Initiatives Fund, which is very exciting, potentially some pūtea for whānau around the motu and particularly in Waikato, who would like to get out there and get some initiatives underway. Nau mai, haere mai, Kate. Welcome.
Oh, kia ora. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for making the time for us here at Radio Waiatea. Can I ask you to begin by telling us a little bit about yourself and a bit of an introduction to you?
Sure. Well, I've been with the Waikato Regional Council now for about 18 months in this role. By trade, I'm a freshwater ecologist by training, and so I've mainly worked with native fish in the environment for most of my career, but I'm now working as a senior biodiversity officer for the Regional Council, which means I get to do a huge amount of community work, working with community groups and partnerships around the region, which is awesome because it means I get to work across multiple different species and habitats and ecosystems, and with a huge amount of different iwi and hapu groups and community groups to achieve some really cool biodiversity outcomes for the region.
Fantastic day. Every day. Every day a different day.
Every day a different day. Nothing is quite the same.
Yeah. So can you tell me what are some of the most pressing biodiversity issues currently facing the Waikato region?
It's probably the main ones is not just Waikato region wide, it's nationwide at the moment. And those kind of key issues would probably be climate change and land use change and habitat loss throughout our region. We have some incredible biodiversity in our region that's worth protecting. And so if we can get things under control like pest animals and pest plants and kind of get our predators down, that we can really help start to kind of turn the tide on biodiversity loss and get some of our native animals kind of on a good footing to actually start doing some recovery and to get our species flourishing again of a lot of our native indigenous species.
Have you got any success stories of biodiversity initiatives or projects that have made a significant impact?
Yeah, I mean, the cool thing about the Environmental Initiatives Fund is that it covers such a wide range of incredible initiatives that are being undertaken by a community across the region. And so, I mean, just last year alone, we had some amazing projects that we were able to help support, anything from environmental education, like our assistance that we gave to kids greening taupō for their role of what they were doing was essentially helping to fund a Te Reo Māori coordinator to get kids into learning about environmental issues and getting them into their own backyards and getting them planting plants and learning about pest and predator control, learning about conservation, and getting that from a Māori perspective as well, from a lot of the issues that are being had in our regions. It's that one was a really cool one that we were able to support. So it's not just straight out pest control, predator control, planting, and that. It's also education. It's also talking to our children and getting them excited about being in the environment and excited about conservation and biodiversity. We've had other ones. We work with community hubs that support small community groups that don't necessarily have the resources to go out and apply for funds and to have that kind of level of engagement with other groups so that we can actually draw these groups together and kind of use the collective power of all of our smaller groups into getting these biodiversity outcomes. So anything between, funding smaller groups, larger groups, community groups, iwi hapu groups, the list goes on and on. So it's really quite a wide-ranging and inclusive fund for biodiversity.
Well, tell us a little bit more about the fund. So it's opened a few days ago. When does it close?
Yep, so it opened on the 24th of June this week, and it's closing on the 19th of July. So the Environmental Initiatives Fund is it's our mid-sized biodiversity fund for the Waikato region. And community groups, iwi hapu groups, kaitiaki groups, anyone who's an incorporated society, charitable trust, any legal entities can apply to this fund. And you can apply for up to $40,000 across 1 to 2 years. And these projects can be, like I said earlier, in environmental education. They can be for environmental enhancement, basically to promote and contribute to sustainable management of the environment, raise community and awareness of environmental issues, and also kind of just bring together the community to work together on a collective problem. So we get quite a few kind of pest animal and pest plant projects applying, as well as things like specific species protection, such as theo or kiwi or kōkako, to help, you know, protect these precious taonga species from being lost altogether.
Kia ora. You mentioned there are some pesky animals and some pesky plants. What are those? For people that might not be aware, you know, we have some common culprits like the possums and stoats, but can you give us a little bit more of a detailed list of what's a threat and what's not?
Well, really, I mean, we're targeting invasive species that aren't really meant to be in this country, and they're out competing our native species. So, like you said, possums are a huge one. They browse the bush, and they take a huge amount of habitat and food sources away from our native species. We have rats, all across the country, in the bush, in our backyards. And they're, you know, they're taking seeds, they're taking food sources, they're predating on invertebrates and frogs and lizards and birds' eggs and things like that. And then you've got the mustelids, which are our mammalian predators, and they are big predators of a lot of our native bird species. So ferrets, weasels and stoats are our three mustelid species, and they're really... they're really hard on our native birds, on our native bird life, and also a lot of our smaller invertebrates and frogs and lizards as well. And then, I mean, pest plants are getting a huge amount more visibility recently as people start to notice them kind of creeping into their backyards and into the forests as well. So things like wild ginger, climbing asparagus, alligator weed and so many more. Pampas is quite a common one that we see a lot along our riparian areas and along our roads and state highways. Woolly nightshade, all of these species encroach on our native habitat and native ecosystems and start to outcompete all of our native wildlife, and that makes it really hard. So if we can start to control them, we can maybe get a little bit of our habitat back, a little bit more of our resources back for our native indigenous biodiversity.
And just my opinion, we need to try and save as many as we can. It's such so important, you know, put them on the top of the list. In terms of these plants, so we've got big names there, but if I wanted to find some pictures of these, do you have maybe a website or something where you've got photos and ways to identify these plants? Because if I see them, I would take them out, and I wonder maybe if the public can get behind here, and if we know who the nasties are, we can we can relieve them of their place.
No, 100%, and that's it. I mean, knowledge is power, right? And so doing small things in your own backyard, in multiple of us doing them, it really adds up. So we have our website, our Waikato Regional Council website, has some great resources on there for identifying pest animals and pest plants. And they also tell you the best ways to get rid of them, because, you know, not every plant is the same method to get rid of it in the most effective way. So they give really good resources on that. There's also a lot of resources on DOC's website and on your local district council websites as well. But, I mean, if in doubt, if anybody has any kind of queries. Is this a great, you know, is this a good plant? Is this a bad plant? I mean, there's a, even between Toi Toi and Pampas, it can be quite easily to easy to confuse the two. So give the Waikato Regional Council a call and have a chat to our amazing biosecurity team. Send in some photos. We can help identify them for you, and they may be plants that we are able to help you control or give you some great advice on the best ways to control them.
Well, I've spent lots of time out on the roadsides and sometimes, you know, rest areas and places where people pull off, and sometimes where unsavoury people pull off and they do a whole lot of dumping, you know, illegal fly tipping. And one of the things that I see very, very often is garden waste. And I'm wondering, you know, just the impact of that. People might think it's quite kind of benign, but actually can you explain why it's not just an innocent little green dump?
Yeah, well, the incredible thing about a lot of our pest plant species is that they've adapted so well to living in environments that you wouldn't expect them to live in. And so when we dump things like garden waste or other kind of aspects out of our gardens, out of our properties and that on the side of the road where they're not supposed to be, you know, even seeds, small cuttings that you wouldn't expect, it's not a whole plant, it's not going to take root. All of that does have the potential to take hold because they're so amazing at adapting to incredible, like, you know, situations where normal plants wouldn't usually grow. So which makes them, you know, one of the reasons why they are such a, you know, such a pest species is that they're fantastic at adapting to new environments. So, always try and dispose of all of your plant waste and, you know, in a safe manner and compost it at home, turn it into mulch, anything like that. But, yeah, please don't be dumping everything on the side of the road. It's not meant to be there. So.
100% behind you on that one. How important is community involvement in your biodiversity efforts? And what are some of the ways that local communities can contribute? Let's just say that they're not, a group that can apply for funding, but there might be a group of people that just want to get out there and do good.
That's a great question because the thing, like, Small change together just creates the most amazing amount of positive change in the environment. And people go, I'm just one person, I can't do much. But a couple of people talking to their neighbours and then getting together on the weekend and you know, one person starts trapping in their backyard and say, hey, look, I caught like 3 rats in a week. And so their neighbours start doing it and their neighbours start doing it and everyone starts working together. And all of a sudden you've got predator control on a large scale that's having huge, huge positive effects on the biodiversity around the area by reducing pests and predators. So, a great way is literally getting together and just talking to your community and seeing what issues people are having. Are we seeing a reduction in birds or are we seeing an increase in pests or animals and what small changes can we make? So literally starting in your own backyard is a really great way to start. But also there are a lot of community groups around our local communities that are really active on community Facebook pages. They have planting days. And a lot of it is also the social aspect as well. So you're getting out there, you're getting into the environment, you're making new connections with people, you're starting to meet people in your community that you hadn't had any involvement before, and everyone starts to learn about biodiversity and conservation and what creatures are creeping around in your backyard that may be really exciting that we didn't know about. So by connecting with your communities and just starting with small changes, planting a few more natives where you can and talking to your neighbours about, you know, if you do have the knowledge and you see a pest plant in their backyard going, hey, did you know you had woolly nightshade growing in your backyard and that kind of thing. But all of those small little changes, although they don't seem significant at the time, can make a huge change to the community.
Nice. You stick your beak over the fence. Stick your beak over the fence. Just maybe, you know, take over a nice plant to swap for the yuck plant.
Yeah,
you know, there's lots of ways to skin a cat. Can you tell me a little bit about the role that Māori and iwi play in your biodiversity programs? Where is the crossover there?
There's so much crossover. A lot of the land that we're working on is iwi land, is Māori land, or has a huge Māori heritage. And so, working alongside mana whenua to talk about the history of the land and get a bit of a background of what used to be there and what kind of mātauranga Māori methods have been used previously to control either pests or pest animals or pest plants or even the hunting methods in the area, all of these things, you know, what trees used to be most prevalent in the bush, things like that have a huge impact on biodiversity and learning about our environment more. And we're seeing a lot more iwi hapu groups applying to do work through biodiversity and to get support for biodiversity projects, like I said earlier, through education or through taking charge of habitats on their land that has been previously degraded, and, you know, using that as a tool to work with the community and to learn more about history and you know, the land that has been you know, previously worked on, and all of that shared knowledge really comes together. So it's been great to be able to kind of meld the scientific, like the Western kind of science, along with mātauranga Māori methods, and get like a more sustainable sustainable kind of resolution for moving forward with biodiversity.
I remember seeing up north some mātauranga Māori was helping with Kauri dieback and also just trees, if they were damaged, taking the dirt from the base of that tree and rubbing it into the bark. And I remember seeing it and thinking, wow, there's this beautiful merging there of mātauranga Māori, and you know, to find this, the best of both worlds. So some of the Western science, but then also, you know, the taha Māori, and Māori knowledge goes way back. You know, it's an 100%. Ancient knowledge, and so it's not just from Te Ao Māori. It goes right back through the Pacific and back up into Melanesia and back up further into Egypt. And it's quite extraordinary. Some of the plants that even that we share with the Egyptians, in terms of. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. No, it's incredible when you start listening to some of the stories on some of this ancient land about, you know, about what used to be there and how it's changed and what parts are sacred and you know, and how this has shaped kind of the learnings that we have working together, and not necessarily be able to, you know, put a complete solve on something, but by, you know, by bringing the two knowledges together, it's so much more of a kind of wholehearted, holistic way to start kind of bringing the Māori back to where we're working and try and hopefully get a bit of this biodiversity back in the region.
Beautiful. What are some of the key biodiversity goals for the Waikato region?
Well, I mean, it's realistically, it's about kind of restoring our unique and local native plants and animals and the indigenous ecosystems that they live in, but to do that, it's all about by bringing people together to do that. It can't be done by one agency. It can't be done by one person. It's about bringing together all involved agencies, individuals, and as many people as we can together to talk about these issues and to kind of get it back to us. You know, to kind of restore as much as we can so that our children have, you know, this incredible biodiversity and the amazing native species that we have here in the future, and that they're not lost. So although it's about biodiversity outcomes. The way that we're trying to go about it is by bringing people together to kind of get a solve for biodiversity.
Fantastic. Well, final question now. Who can apply for this funding and where do they come?
So the main thing on the WHO is that that they're a legal entity. So iwi, hapu groups, community groups, who else? Kaitiaki groups, incorporated societies, community trusts, educational institutions. All of these people are eligible to apply for environmental initiatives. And they can apply via our website at the Waikato Regional Council website through the funding portal. And if anybody has any questions, please just get in touch with the Waikato Regional Council and they will probably put you through to me, and I am happy to chat to anybody about any questions. If they have a project that they're not sure might fit for the fund or not, I'm happy to chat to anybody about their projects. And although EIF is the current fund that is open, we do have other funding possibilities for smaller and larger groups as well. So I might be able to point you in the direction of one that might better suit your project.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Kate Pepper, Senior Biodiversity Officer with Waikato Regional Council. We appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
No problem. Hey, thank you very much.
Kia ora. Well, e te whānau, if you were listening to that and you have a project that you have in mind, or perhaps one of your whānau maybe has seen something out in the Waikato area, Te Rohe Pōtai, or Waikato has seen something out there that needs a bit of attention, here is an opportunity for you. Get yourself together. You know, it doesn't take much to set up a legal entity. If you need to get a charitable trust set up, well, kia tere, or maybe there might be a rōpū that you can align with that already has a legal entity set up. Maybe it might be time to set one up and then look for the next round. So never be intimidated by the paperwork, because it's doable. It's absolutely doable, and the rewards, not only for yourself getting out there and getting into our taiao, helping papatua, nuku and ranginui, we give back. They give us so much, and to give back is something beautiful that we can do. So I want to encourage you all to get out and do what you can. Well, e te whānau, that brings us to an end for another night. Thank you so much for staying with us and joining us on this journey with Kaitiaki Kōrero with Kiri. It's an absolute pleasure always to have your company. And I guess the final thing that I would like to say is wherever you are home. And you are home with Mama, a papatu anuku, and you are home with Papa, Arangi Nui. Wherever you are in the world, you're home. All you have to do is go out and go into the taiao and you're home. And our taiao needs a lot of help. We have successive governments. They will always come, they will always go, and there will always be challenges with the environment. But we must speak up. We must say something. And we must be a voice for papatua, nuku and rangi nui. They certainly can speak for themselves, and they do. But we can also be advocates. We can also be kaitiaki. We can also roll up our sleeves and get out there and do what we can. And if you need motivation, open your eyes when you go outside. Take your shoes off. Smell the breeze. Hug the trees. Smell the flowers. Eat the kai. Enjoy the dirt on your hands and in your fingernails. Take your wairua outside with you and let it connect with the wairua, the Māori of the taiao. Find that love, find that connection, find that passion, find that comfort. The soothing comfort of papatua nuku will motivate you to do everything you can to fight for her and to fight for each other, to fight for our tamariki, our mokopuna, and for the future of everybody on this planet. Nei te mihi nui ki a koutou katoa, e te iwi Māori, tū mai kaitiaki mā, tū mai. Kia tū ai I roto I te hōhonutanga o taua kupu te tangata whenua. Tū mai tangata whenua, tū mai mō te whenua. Pomari e.